Call this January 24th, 2017meeting work session of the Springfield Planning Commission to order. We are all present with the exception of Commissioner Nelson, and he may be joining us. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Andy, and he's going to talk with us about a request for Metro Plan Diagram Amendment and Zone Change of a piece of property off of High Banks Road in Springfield. And we have a subsequent public hearing tonight related to this issue. So, Andy?
Yes, thank you. So I guess historically speaking, this is not such an unusual request, but in recent history, a property owner initiated Metro Plan Amendment and Zone Change is not common occurrence. So the Planning Commission probably hasn't seen one for a little while. In this particular case, it is a site-specific amendment to the Metro Plan Diagram to redesignate low-density residential property, about 7.1 acres, to light medium industrial to accommodate a planned facility on the site, which does not fit within the provisions of the residential district. It is entirely within the city limits, so therefore it is a Springfield jurisdiction only. And the Planning Commission's role in this is to review the materials, the applicant's testimony this evening. They will be carrying the freight, so to speak. Staff is presenting the, the context for this through this staff report, but are not the initiators or the proponents, so to speak. In this case, the recommendations from the Planning Commission will be forwarded to the City Council for a second public hearing, currently scheduled for February 21st. The staff report before you does identify some deficiencies in the initial submittal. At the public hearing this evening, staff will provide some supplemental materials that the applicants provided to address some of the Goal 12 findings. It's substantive report and would require some time to read and digest. And so I have not had an opportunity to circle back with our transportation engineer who had kind of initiated contact with the applicant's transportation engineer who's here tonight. So I guess it's at the discretion of the Planning Commission, but staff's recommendation to continue the hearing and keep the written record open to the next scheduled meeting still stands. That would allow staff opportunity to review the content and findings of this report and ensure that it meets the Goal 12 requirements, as well any of the public that may be attending this evening would have an opportunity to review that because it will be submitted at the public hearing this evening.
So it'll be part of the written record?
Correct, it'll be part of the record, and it'll allow the commissioners opportunity to read and review the document outside of just in the hearing. The applicant has been responsive to the request for additional information. It came late this afternoon, so it will be submitted hard copy form to you this evening. Aside from that, the staff report finds that in all other respects, the proposed Metro Plan Diagram Amendment and Zone Change meet the requirements of the City's Development Code and accordance with the State Climate Goals. So, you have any other specific questions? It's kind of a different and unusual type of application review this evening, and something that will be have additional review and hearing down the road. Staff hasn't had any public comments submitted either orally through phone calls or submitted in writing. Aside from an expression of interest from a group in Portland. And so we did provide them with the staff report. They're reviewing residential lands within Oregon, the state, and so changes to the residential land inventory is of interest to them, but they didn't provide any comment in response to the staff report.
So what is the notification protocol for a Metro Plan Amendment such as this and zone change?
We have public notices posted. There's one in the City Hall lobby. We have one on the electronic reader board in Development Public Works. Notice in the newspaper, legal notice of section newspaper, I posted a sign on the site along High Banks Road. So there's a notice that's been posted on a stake along the property frontage. And we also sent out written notice to property owners within 300 feet of the perimeter of the property. So
very
tremendous
within,
number.
Yeah,
correct.
Few
there's large land holdings on the north side of, yeah. of High Banks, so not a lot of ownership. And the, most of the northern and western abutting properties are existing industrial and likely don't have any cause for concern. It would extend south of High Banks to some of the residential properties that come onto that area, and there hasn't been any response. So.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, yes, sorry, I did want to make great points off the fact that we did send notice to the State Department of Land Conservation
yep,
Development,
yeah.
and so they had identified some additional goal 9 and 10 findings, I believe it was goal 10 for housing requirement. We did advise the applicant of a need to ensure that that is addressed, and they provided that within their narrative. So.
Okay. Commissioner Bose?
In regard to this issue of goal 12, what specific information, not having read the additional data from today, what additional information are you actually seeking? Because it appears as if you're looking for additional information on traffic volume so as to determine whether there should be an interior street network. Is that?
Well, it's to account for the difference between the two types of land use. So what the number of vehicle trips that would be associated with 7 acres of residential, low density residential, which would be single family housing typically, versus light medium industrial, which could have a range of uses on it from a warehouse or storage facility to even like a warehouse commercial type of operation, home improvement center, that sort of thing. So that there's a spectrum of possible traffic generation. So to ensure that there isn't any significant effect on the road system, the applicant would need to demonstrate that that has been accommodated. There's the changes in the land use will not trigger the need for road improvements or intersection improvements at Highway 126 as an example. So they did, a brief analysis to demonstrate that there is comparable traffic generated.
Thank you.
There's a specific set of instructions and questions that you have to respond to in the Oregon Administrative Rule in 660.12.060. It's about, it's lengthy, it's very comprehensive, and it's beyond the average person's ability to respond to. That's why it's highly recommended that a transportation engineer do that work, and that's what the applicant has done.
I guess I would note that the applicant's supplemental study does recommend a trip cap for the property be implemented to ensure that one of the sort of outlying high-end, high traffic generating type of uses could not locate on the site. As an example, a Costco type of facility could theoretically be constructed on that type of a property with that zoning. Not likely that they would locate there, but it's possible once the zoning is implemented, mm-hmm. anything within those allowable uses could be constructed on the site, the applicant's plans notwithstanding. So the applicant has identified, an upper limit to the trip that would not trigger any types of transportation improvements. And so they've recommended capping the trip numbers on the property and implementing that through likely through like a deed restriction or some type of encumbrance on the property.
Okay.
I had a number of questions.
Go ahead.
First of all, about how many single family residences just roughly could be constructed on that parcel? Is there any rough estimate?
So
it'd probably need a road system.
Correct. And the applicant's analysis that they're providing utilizes the absolute upper range, which would be 14 units per acre. The city's development code specifies between 6 to 14 units per acre. That's per net acre. Mm-hmm. As you correctly pointed out, they would be less, in all likelihood, a public street extension would deduct from that total. Sure. But they have used the maximum number as if the full 7.1 acres were developed with single-family dwellings to the tune of approximately 100 units. In practically speaking, that would not be achievable in all likelihood, but they've used that as their upper limit for this analysis.
Say then it could be something around the ballpark of 60 single-family residences on that.
That would be probably more in keeping with the type of single-family development in that neighborhood and what's marketable today.
And then would there be a significant tax loss to the city and the county from conversion of this from single-family residential, you know, in property taxes and support for parks, transportation system, et cetera, in converting it to
There would be, because low-density residential dwelling units require Willamette Lane system development charges. They're not invoked on commercial industrial land use because they don't generate the demand. Mm-hmm. There would be, I guess, a different type of recovery of these, so to speak, through different tax rates applicable to commercial industrial land versus low-density residential. And I'm not, it's not within staff's consideration as to the tax impact, mm-hmm. typically. So I guess, practically speaking, yes, there would be an impact.
Okay.
It is not in the development code considerations or any of the staff analysis.
Mm-hmm. And then also being that it sounds as if this is a religiously based enterprise, mm-hmm. that would there also be tax breaks for, since it is a religiously based enterprise, or do you know?
I would assume so, mm-hmm. But that didn't factor into any of the staff analysis.
Okay, so versus single family residential, a number of them, the SDCs and the property taxes would go down significantly from using 60 single family residentials to this property.
The Willamette Lane SDCs, I guess I would specify. The site would still be required to pay transportation, sewer, stormwater SDCs, irrespective of its zoning.
Okay.
So it's just factors in the Willamette Lane SDCs.
And then the last question I had was, is there any concept of a site plan? Because if you take that 7 acres, there's certainly a number of ways that it could be developed to the point that it might be almost entirely paved, fenced, and houses, and significant amount of truck traffic, etc.
There is a conceptual site plan, and my understanding is that the applicant's presentation will provide some of that information to the commission this evening.
Great.
Okay. Any other questions, commissioners? Okay, hearing none, any other points from staff?
Nope, I think staff's presentation will focus on providing some context for the request, and the balance of the presentation will be the applicant's opportunity to provide some of the specific details around the site development, which is essentially causing this, you know, the Metro Plan Amendment and essentially requiring this type of a amendment and zone change.
Okay. So I would just direct the commission, the action is a two-part action because we do have a Metro Plan Amendment and a zone change that will be coming before us. So we have those two pieces to deal with. The Metro Plan Amendment is a recommendation to, would be a recommend in the form of a recommendation to the City Council. And the zone change, is that also a recommendation
That's
to the
correct.
City Council?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Hearing no more questions, we'll adjourn this meeting and we'll reconvene in 15 minutes or 12 minutes in regular session. We're adjourned.